Card, episode 132. We're back, Rob.
132.
We're back.
132. That's 100, a lot.
132 of these things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like two more than 130.
It is. There's a lot of talking, a lot of hot air, a lot of blustering. So, and honestly, the podcasts only capture like 1% of the bluster that happens here all day, right?
That's true.
I mean, there's a lot of talking going on. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's not. We're always head down working. That's what we're doing. So, I got the headphones and the music rocking. All right, 132. Shout out to our dear friend Michael, right? Because we were literally just on a call with Michael. Michael's and Andrew, part
That's
of
right.
Our SEO team. So giving them some love on That's this right. one. And we were joking, all right, Michael, what's the topic for today's podcast?
Yeah.
And Michael, I think, came up with a good one.
Yeah.
Right? Which is kind of interesting, which I think we both wrote it down differently. But the topic is, or the thought is, you know, why do marketing directors come to us?
Yeah.
Right? Or
yeah.
You know,
what are they looking for?
What are they looking for?
What are they looking for?
Who are these mysterious marketing directors?
That's right.
And where have they been?
That's right.
And what rocks?
What do they want?
What do they want? And why are they hiding under rocks from us?
Yeah.
You know? So I'll start with you then. What do marketing directors want from us?
Well, they want a lot of things.
Yes.
And there are a lot of different reasons that marketing directors come to us.
And,
right?
And the director of marketing does what? Maybe we should start there. Maybe I should back up and say, what do we think? I mean, because the job title has kind of evolved, to be quite honest, over the years.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would say the job of the marketing director is to make sure that the company or corporation where they work is presented properly in the marketplace.
Yes.
Right?
Positioned properly
in the marketplace, right?
Identify their strategic benefits,
yep.
right? Potentially yep. their areas of opportunity. You know,
yeah.
The old SWOP analysis, yep. you know, stuff yep. like that, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that just to make sure that, that they clearly convey what it is their company offers.
Yes.
To the clients that they offer it to.
Yeah, yeah. And oftentimes I think one thing that hasn't changed, at least, you know, in my numerous years with this, is that, you know, you are tied to sales. So there's like a VP of
marketing.
For
better or worse,
and
right.
there's a VP of sales. And a lot of times those guys work in tandem, or gals, I shouldn't
yep.
say guys. But like, you know, those in smaller organizations, maybe you'll have both of those job titles under one individual. Hey,
yep.
I'm the VP of marketing and sales, right? Because a lot of times it's, sales has a need. We need these things. We need these
yeah.
tools. We need this set of tactics.
Or right. They are out there pounding the pavement, yeah. knocking yeah. on doors and doing all the yeah. things.
Or proactively marketing can go to sales. Hey, what do you need to help, you know, do
right.
your jobs
That's
better?
Right.
You know, how can we help simplify the sales process for you? You know, is that
right.
a different website? Is that traditional sales sheets? Is that presentations? Is that like trade show? Like what is it, right? But they do kind of, they're, you know, tied at the hip, I think.
They're
sometimes.
Tied at the hip. And yeah. we've seen everything from, you know, companies where sales and marketing don't get along so
Ooh,
well
not
to
so, yeah, they hate
scenarios
each other.
Where they get along great.
Yeah.
So it's just like any relationship, dare I say.
Yeah. yeah.
Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're tied to the hip for sure. And I think, you know, one of the main differences is, you know, sales is obviously directly tied to ROI. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the pressure's on. I have to sell this and bring in X amount of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's marketing's role to support that.
Correct.
By making sure that, yeah, everything is presented properly.
Correct.
And gives them the easiest way to sell that
yeah.
To clients.
Absolutely.
So I think that's kind of the key. You know, marketing is, it's a little bit more difficult to tie that directly to ROI.
Well, and I think part of that, though, too, is the nebulous brand awareness campaign.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like it's one thing to go into, hey, our product does the best job at XYZ. You know,
yeah.
like going straight into benefits of like, oh, we're better, we're cheaper, we're faster, we're
right.
easier, we're whatever, right? Well, none of that matters if nobody even knows that you exist in the first place, right? So there needs to be sort of that educational aspect swimming upstream of like, hey, everybody. Look at us.
Yeah.
We're over here. Like, I can't sell you the purple mattress and why it's so, you know, beneficial for your sleeping habits if nobody even knows what purple mattresses are.
Right. right.
Or and then even the upstream challenge of, oh, by the way, we're not using box springs anymore and we're not using this and that. Like, you know, think about that sort of educational curve
yeah.
of like, oh, wait, it comes in a vacuum sealed box delivered to your door. And nope, it's better than, you know, like, So yeah, there is sometimes, I kind of went on a tangent here, but sometimes the marketing ROI component tied to brand awareness can be challenging.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
All right, time back in. So now that we've kind of sort of set the stage on, you know, what their role is in general, right? Why do they come to us?
Yeah. So a number of different reasons. There could, and a lot of it depends on too, I'm going to state the obvious, but the size of the marketing department, right? The size of the company. And we were fortunate enough to work with some of the largest companies in the world.
Absolutely.
And then also to some startups and smaller operations as well that are more efficient. And, you know, it's when you have a nice big, you know, multinational corporation, they have a very robust marketing department.
Yeah.
And certainly there's, I don't know, I would say a little bit more clarity in what they need, right? It's a little, by the time it comes to us, it's a little more structured.
Yeah.
It's a little more polished. It's a little more, hey, here's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
And we don't really necessarily need anything else. We've refined it and defined it. And here's exactly what we need.
Yeah. We have a plan. We have a marketing plan. We have, you know, this is our specific needs, you know, play within these sandboxes to help flesh out those needs.
And then by contrast, you know, a smaller organization may only have one or two people in the marketing department.
Yeah.
And then our role becomes very different under those circumstances.
Absolutely.
But you know, at the end of the day, and it can be anything. I mean, they could come to us with, hey guys, we, here is our marketing plan for all of 2025.
Yeah.
And we need you guys to execute it.
Execute
and we know we're going to do this campaign for this in Q1 and we're going to do a new website in Q3 and we're going to have, you know,
we're doing a trade show exhibit.
We got all of it.
Yeah.
They're going to send us the whole list for the year and say, hey, we need you guys to map it out and execute, execute against all of this work, this creative work.
Absolutely.
And then other times, you know, if it's a smaller organization, let's say, they will come to us and say, you know, we always do like to tell people, and I do think this is important. We generally say to companies, we're not your outsourced marketing department.
I'm fond of that expression as well.
Yeah. And we've said that since the very beginning.
Yeah.
We are more the executioners of your plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the asterisk on that is we know enough to be dangerous, right? Meaning if it's a smaller organization and they don't have the internal resources and they haven't developed a full-fledged plan, they can kind of come to us with a framework and we're able to then proactively go, okay, what about this? And kind of help them map out the calendar.
Have you thought about this?
Yeah. And just kind of polish the plan a little bit and get it ready to, ready to go.
Oh, by the way, guys, we had great success doing this type of thing with somebody else. What if you consider that?
Correct.
Or, ooh, guys, I think that might be, that's not a great idea. What if we swap this out for that instead, that type of thing.
We do not fancy ourselves marketing strategists, dare I say, and that's a dangerous thing to say, but
no, we like to be in the creative lane.
We're in the creative, we're the executioners.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But so back to the original question, they'll come to us for different things. It can either be, hey, here's the, I got a year's worth of work and here's the calendar and here's exactly what needs to happen. Ready, go. And then we'll hit the ground running and come up with that. Other times it could be, hey guys, I've got a quick turn and burn like campaign that I need to get out the door in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. I put that down on my list actually as well as the emergency fire drill.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
Which, hey, I'm not, no creative firm wants to solicit emergency projects.
You know? No, but like, we're very good at that.
Yeah. But our structure, we've talked about efficiency on the podcast before.
Right.
Our structure allows us to operate so much more efficiently, which can, you can define efficiency as time. Right. To be able to do such a, you know, stellar creative product just quicker, than your existing AOR or things like that. So,
well, you've always loved the phrase, moving at the speed of business. Right.
Yeah.
So
we
say that quite often and there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
Right.
We've got cliches over here.
Oh, maybe. Something came up and, you know, be it a market influence or something else, and we've got to respond or do something super quick.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times too, especially if it's a large corporation, we may or may not be, and oftentimes not for huge businesses, but the agency of record.
Yeah.
And they'll have a much larger shop that's doing great work and whatever else. But the challenge there is, you know, potentially that agency can't move as quick, right?
Correct.
It's a bigger ship to turn.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to speak. And we're able to come in, you know, hey, here's a project that my large agency can't tie. They're too busy or what, you know, whatever the case may be. And then we'll take that over for them. And we love that kind of work. That's great. That's in our,
And sometimes you get these larger clients too. It's like turning the battleship in the bathtub,
right?
To keep the cliche train rolling. Like they can't go as fast as we can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many times has it been like, hey, it's sitting with them,
yeah,
you know, in legal review or whatever the case may be. And it's like, oh my God, well, guys, hey, the clock's ticking. You know,
yeah. Well, file it under things we often say to clients, when they ask, well, how quickly can you get it done? And the response is, we can move as fast as you can.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that, because I actually was emailing with a new business prospect today. Hey, how long is it going to take to get the website done? Right. Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, how long does your mechanic take to fix your, you know, your rusted out barn find car? Like, you know, and it was like, I sat there and went like, gosh, how do I politely reply back? It's kind of almost always on the client side as to why delays would occur. You know what I mean? Like content development, approvals, the thing. Like the delays, generally speaking,
aren't on our side of the
They're
fence.
Not on our side, right?
No.
But you can't.
No, but
you can't throw that out. You know, but to your point, like, we go as fast as they will allow us to go, if that makes sense.
And we'll frame it up like, hey, here's the project. They asked that question. We say, hey, assuming all approvals, you know, move with the
sail through,
calendar and everything else, and there are no delays, you know, getting content or whatever, whatever it is, we can move as fast as you can. Generally as our, and we've, I can't think of one instance where we've not met that promise.
Yeah,
really.
It's I mean, 17 years later, I don't think it's ever happened.
I don't know that. It's happened.
Well, we're not in the business of missing deadlines. That's not.
No.
You know, because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, one of the answers for why marketing directors come to us is because of trust.
Reliability.
Yeah, it is a trust-based business, you know, and everybody's ass is on the butcher block for some reason, somehow, some way, you know. And, you know, if it's sales, it's, you know, quotas and things like that. You know, for us, it's a lot of, like you said, reliability, timing, trust, things like that. We got, you know, hey, the ad is due to the publication on Friday.
Right.
Like, it has to be like, you know what I mean? Like things are being, you know, so I mean, we're a very deadline trust driven business. Right. And that's another reason why marketing directors come to us. Right. Is I trust that these guys are going to get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Missing deadlines isn't really in our business model.
No.
Doesn't
no.
seem like a good idea.
No, that's a bad business model. But it is surprising how often you hear that, you know, out there, you know, and there are, you know, various, I mean, hey, hurricanes happen,
things
earthquakes
happen.
Things happen.
Of course,
but,
of course.
You know, I think all of us have been burned somewhere along the line in a previous life. And now it's like you have that feeling and it's like you don't want to have that feeling again.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, let's do everything we possibly can to make sure that we're not only on time, but we have buffer just in case, you know, because anything happens.
I think while we're boasting about ourselves also.
Well, we're awesome.
It's true.
Yeah.
One of the thousands of reasons we're awesome is because I think what happens is, you know, when people work with us for the first time, it's typically a little bit different than how they've worked with other agencies
Correct.
In the past, right?
Yeah.
And we don't need to go on the efficiency play, but because everybody knows that by now, if you've listened to the podcast, but it's a little bit different. And you know, fortunately for us, once clients get through a project with us, I feel like there is a sense of relief, right? And that trust is kind of there, meaning when they pick up the phone again, they know that they understand how working with us is different. They understand why it works. Clearly, it worked the first time and they've called us back. And they know that they can talk to us. Things don't get lost in translation. We're going to meet the deadlines. Yeah. The work is going to be good. All the things.
Absolutely.
So that would file that under why marketing directors keep coming back to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the follow-up. But yeah, I think it's, you know, but what I do think is the, you know, sometimes what happens is marketing directors come to us and there are certain things that they don't even know that they need.
Mm.
Right?
I like that.
And they'll come to us saying, hey, I need you to do this.
Okay.
And then we're just, given our experience and everything else, we're able to say, okay, awesome. We can totally do that. What about this? And what about that?
Yeah.
And what about this? And then it's a, that would be great. That would be great.
Yeah.
Which all kind of trickles down to this idea of, you know, our job, and we tell clients this often too. There's a lot of, here's what we tell clients today on this
Maybe
podcast.
That should have been the name of the
that
episode.
That should have been the name of it.
Yeah.
But one of those, and I think importantly, is, hey, our job is to take work off of your plate.
Yes.
And put it onto ours.
Yes.
And that's more than just executing the campaign and coming up with the creative, which obviously they look to us to do, but it's how do we make your life easier?
And
what can we take off of your plate and put onto ours so that you can focus on
whatever
other things?
I love that.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I mean,
I think that ties into, you know, being more proactive from our perspective, but also being more of a partner than just a vendor.
Right.
You know, and I think that, you know, it's nobody works anywhere for 30 years straight and gets a gold watch and rides off into the sunset, or 40 years. You know what I mean? Like, everybody hops around and jumps and they do different things, and you have different interests and you have different phases in your career. Right. And that's why the trust, I think, as we mentioned, is so interesting and so important, you know, but I think that, you know, potentially they're unhappy with whatever they've got, a certain area, you know, like they don't know what
there's a pain point somewhere.
Yeah, somehow there's a pain point. And that's another podcast right there, just in terms of what are pain points that marketing directors might have. Right. And I think that our experience though is able to identify, oh yeah, you came to us for this, but hey, what about that? Like you just said, right. And it's like addressing pain points that they maybe didn't even realize that they had, right? Which is, oh man, our existing firm, I tell them to do this and they just do that.
Yeah.
Blah. You know what I mean? Versus like, hey, you asked for this. We also did this and that. You know what I mean? Or what about that? Or what about, you know what I mean? Just probing and just trying to make the best little project possible or best little whatever, which does. It transcends from just vendor, I have a need, to like, now we're partners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, well, then you can start to forecast a little bit more. Oh, you talked about this trade show that you have on the horizon. What if we did that? You know, like it's just that type of thing, right? Which I think can help really solve pain points that they didn't even really know that they had in the first place, right?
And sometimes the opposite is true. Meaning sometimes, you know, when we're first working on a project and we're first engaged with somebody, we will ask them that.
Yeah.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
What can we do better? Or what pain point? I mean, sometimes we'll specify what pain point do you have? What is going to make your life easier?
Sure.
And I think they appreciate that, right? And then we can address that. Hopefully.
Well, the goal is to, like, I mean, hey, it's important, it's strategic, there's money involved. You know, I'm not downplaying, you know, what we do. You know what I mean? I always joke, like, hey, the patient's not going to bleed out on the table. I mean, it's, you know, it's not that level of like someone died in the office today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? but you know, again, just to put things in perspective, right, is the reason why I illustrate that. But it is still very, very important, you know. And I think that that ties into that, though, what you're saying, you know, like it is, you know, being a partner, right, and addressing those needs can also be fun. Along the way, you know what I mean? You can have laughs along the way. We're the, you know, we can joke around that, hey, we're the fun meeting of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is important that you have a strategic communication problem, right?
Yeah.
Oh, customers don't know that you do this, or we need to highlight this ad. You know, there's strategy, there's methodology, there's the power of persuasion, of advertising, all the cliches, all the good stuff, right? But it's still important to have fun along the way, you know, and have some levity and be good partners, you know.
And at the end of the day, also too, I think it's important to note our job is to make our marketing directors look good.
Yeah, totally.
Like it's to make them look good. It's to do great work.
Yeah.
Make their lives easier and
alleviate stress.
Good,
I mean, if we're a minute late, that's stressful for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, no, get it out there early and then nobody's stressed, you know, like
no stress.
We got enough stresses in our lives. Like this should be the fun stuff and this should be the, you know, and then this stuff makes a difference. I mean, we've talked on other podcasts about, you know, immediate impact. We've talked about, so, you know, all the different things of how, you know, it all works in tandem with sales and, you know, success occurs and things like that.
Right.
But it's important to have fun along the way too.
Yep.
So, you know.
Yep.
All right.
So, yeah, I think, you know, lots of different reasons that there are lots of different reasons that marketing directors come to us, a lot of them are the same fundamentally at the end of the day, right? To do good work and to make their lives easier.
Yeah, totally. Right? Totally. Well, here we go. We were joking this was going to be a nice quick podcast and we talked about, you know, our friends on the other side of the fence for 20 minutes.
That's right.
Which is pretty cool. So,
the question is, Mr. or Ms. Marketing Director out there in the world, why will you come to us?
Yes. Well, you stole my thought. I was going to say, how are those people
going to get to us?
How are those people going to get to us?
How are they going to get to us?
You know?
Of course, mocktheagency.com on the interwebs, and you can find us on social. We're pretty easy to find.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we look forward to it. Bring us your next challenge.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.